What we got, 3 hours? Take your Bibles, if you would, to some of those pages that might still be a little stuck together. Y'all were supposed to laugh there. But Nehemiah, chapter number 4. I desire your prayers this morning. Nehemiah chapter number 4. I got a fair bit of scripture to read this morning, but I want you to think upon, I know today is Pastor Appreciation Day, and if I could probably, and he could probably say this, but me standing up here and bragging on him ain't going to do y'all no good. It ain't going to do nobody in here no good if I stand up and I tell you just how good he is. And granted, he's good. Preacher Tim's good. But you know what? He would probably tell me the same thing that Paul told Timothy. I don't want you to stand up there and tell them what I've done. All I want you to do is to preach the word. Just preach the word. So this morning, this is Pastor Appreciation Day. We are appreciative of our pastor. But today, just for a few moments, let's get focused in on God. Let's get focused in on Christ and what he's done for us. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 4, starting in verse number 6. If you're there, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to these words. So built we the wall. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work.
Amen.
But it came to pass when Sambalot and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and the breaches began to be stopped. Think about that. The breaches began to be stopped and they were very wrath. Friend, let me tell you, when the enemy sees that that the hedge is being repaired, that the hole is being closed up where he used to have a way in, when all of a sudden it begins to be boarded back up or builded back up, friend, he don't like it. And it says this, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. To hinder what? The building of the wall. Nevertheless, Jackie. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto not somebody else's God, but our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, for that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said they should not know neither see till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass when the Jews which dwelt with them came, they said unto us 10 times for all places which ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore said I, in the lower places behind the wall, my God, listen to me, church. And on the higher places, I even set the people after their families. Oh, Nehemiah was a smart man. With their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall. Everyone unto his work.
Amen.
And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears and shields and the bows and habergeons and the rulers were behind all of the house of Judah. This is where we're going to end the reading. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, with those that laid it, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray this morning, God, that you hide me behind you. God, I pray, God, that you just, God, use this word, God, God, to go out, God, and to pierce hearts. God, to crush those that are hardened, God, to bring the sinner back to repentance. God, I pray this in the name that stands above every name, God, the name in which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. One day, God, one day that'll happen, God. It's in the mighty, the holy, and the precious name of Jesus. God, I pray, God, that the sinner in this place, the saint in this place, will leave this place different in the way in which they came in. Father, we'll be closer to you than ever before. Father, I pray, God, that you increase, God, while we decrease. In the mighty name and the holy precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't have a clock, so y'all bear with me. Amen. Nehemiah is in this place, and he's come to this place. Artaxerxes is the king of Persia, and right now in the midst of all of this, if you go back to chapter number 1, you'll see where Nehemiah was the cupbearer, and he's sitting there, and Nehemiah's got it made in Shushan, the palace. He's got it made there. He's the cupbearer. And then the Lord put something on his heart or put something in his ear. If you go back to verse, I think it's number 3, Nehemiah is sitting there, and he's doing his job day in and day out, and he hears some of these guys, one of his brothers, and if I remember, it was some of the Jews, that he heard them over talking about something that was going on over in Jerusalem, and he asked a question. He kind of inquired of what was going on concerning those folks of Jerusalem. And I want you to see that the Bible says, and they said unto me that the remnant that are left of the captivity and the providence are in great affliction and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. If you think about that wall of Jerusalem, that wall is significant in many different ways. But just briefly this morning, I know some of y'all giving me the sideway eye when I say briefly. Come on. But I want to preach this thought. A brick in one hand and a sword in the other. A brick in one hand, and I'm not going to carry this all day. A brick in one hand and a sword in the other. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, if you go back to that last verse, as they were building the wall, when the enemy had found out the enemy was coming against them, so they were prepared for not only for the work, but for what was to come. And so they were building, and as they were building, they had the bricks in one hand, laboring, and a sword to keep off the enemy. Today, like I said, I know it's Pastor Appreciation Day. Number one, I want us to see the leadership. The leader of this whole thing was Nehemiah. I want you to see what happens. Nehemiah, as he hears these words being spoken to him, notice what it says in verse number 4 there of chapter number 1. He hears these words, and it says, and it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You say, well, what does that mean about Past Appreciation Day? In order for us to have the right leader, you have the right, have to have the right one that's close to God. You see, what Nehemiah's first thought wasn't to go grab a sword. When we hear bad news, sometimes you know what we want to do? We want to go to cutting people. We want to go taking out the sword. Not the sword of the spirit, but the sword of man. We want to take it out and we want to start lashing. But I want you to see what Nehemiah done. And notice who he done it for. He just didn't do it for the walls that were burned down or the gates that were burned down and the walls that were torn. The Bible says that he mourned because of this. That the remnant that are left in the captivity of the providence are in great affliction. He wept and mourned and fasted and prayed for the people. Amen. He prayed for the people. And today I couldn't think of nothing greater than when I read these words. I began to think of Pastor Tim and Miss Juwan. And I began to think about Miss Juwan, how I get those texts. I ain't even got the number saved in my phone, but every week, every day just about, I get a text from the church. Amen. Every Friday night, you know what I get a text that says?
Come on.
We praying at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
At the rock pile.
Yeah.
We're praying at the rock pile. Jackie, Jamie, where's Jamie Pardue? In the back. Dallas, preacher, and many others.
Come on.
We've been around that rock pile.
Amen.
And there's been some stuff happening.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
Come on, preacher. Tell them. Come on. Listen, man.
You know what's good about having a leader? Trying to be nice. Today, you know what today is? It's Sunday.
Amen.
You know what the holiday is today? National Back to Church Day.
Thank you, Jesus.
National Back to Church Day. So sometimes you know what it does to encourage your pastor? Show up. Show up. Come to God's house. Come to prayer meeting. Come to the rock pile. As you see Nehemiah, he begins the first thing that he does. He doesn't whip out this sword. I'm telling you, this thing's sharp. He doesn't whip out the sword and begin to just hack away at the enemy. He first reaches to somebody's behalf that can do something about it. You see, we can't do nothing about it, but we know the one that can do something about it. And Nehemiah lays down, and the Bible says that he sat down and he wept. It struck him in a mighty way. And he just sat down and just began to cry. And he began to mourn. And he began to fast. And he began to pray. And friend, if you study this out, you'll see that he done this for 4 months. 4 months. You go to chapter, I think it's number 2, the end of chapter number 1, you'll see this prayer that Nehemiah begins to pray. And then chapter number 2, it goes into the month of Nisan. And if you study that out, those months are 4 months apart. And he prays for 4 months. He sees God. Sound like a good leader to me.
Amen.
Sound like a leader that'll seek God on my behalf and your behalf. Amen. Sounds like one. But not only do you see where he heard what was going on, but here's the epic picture of a man humbling himself before an almighty God. Friend, he sat down and he begins to, he begins to weep and he begins to mourn and he begins to pray unto God. And if you read that prayer, my God, what a powerful prayer that he begins to pray. And he's praying for the people. He's not praying for himself. He's praying for the people. And friend, can I tell you that when you've got a man that'll adhere to the word of God and a one that'll humble himself before God, you're off to a good start. And friend, can I tell you, for 25 years, there's been a man and a woman here and a family that, can I tell you, that have led this church. Granted, has everything always been sunshine and rainbows and all that? No, sometimes, you know what? Sometimes it's rained. Sometimes it's hailed. Sometimes a tornado's come through. Sometimes the hurricanes blow through. Sometimes things have gotten flipped over. Sometimes people have left. Sometimes this has happened or that has happened and this has happened and that has happened. But they've remained faithful to doing what God has specifically called them to do. That is to lead this church. Nehemiah is leading this charge. The Bible goes on in chapter number 2. We're just an introduction, by the way. We go into chapter number 2, and you see to where Nehemiah, or the end of chapter 1, he begins to praise. He finishes prayer, and then all of a sudden he's with a sad countenance in front of his king, and the king said, what's wrong? And he begins to explain, hey, that my people, that Jerusalem is lying in ruins. And friend, if we're not careful, we'll live in the ruins. We'll live in the ruins. You see, the walls were torn down. The temple had been torn down. All of that had been torn down. It's rebuilt now. But the walls were still down. And guess what? There were still people that were living in a place of ruin. Amen. They were still there. Amen. They were still amongst the ruins. And Nehemiah hears about it. And he goes. And he inspects the wall and he begins to look at it. And I begin to think about Pastor Appreciation Day. It'd be easy for a pastor to stand up here and just look at it from this angle, to inspect it from the pulpit. But you know what Nehemiah began to do? He began to look at it from this angle. He began to look at it from this angle. He began to look at it from this angle. And he began to look at it from this angle. You say, well, what are you saying? Pastoring just don't come preaching on Sundays and Wednesdays. That ain't pastoring. This is preaching. You see, when everything was in ruins, when he began to inspect and see, he had to see what needed to be done and what needed the most attention at that specific time. They needed that. He needed to see what all needed to be put up, what all needed, which walls were in the worst shape and which walls were all the way down versus the ones that may have been just halfway. And as he begins to inspect this wall, this is where I get to us. See, a great leader will go before. And he'll inspect and he'll look at everything that's going on. He'll take the time to really look at it, because if I ain't mistaken, I think it was another 4 months after he began to look at everything that finally they took action. Chapter number 3. I want to read these words to you in chapter number 2 before we go. The Bible says, go with me to verse number 17, please. Can you pull it up on the screen, Riley? Of chapter number 3. 2. Chapter number 2. Nehemiah has inspected the walls. He's inspected these walls and these gates that were torn down, right? Everybody with me? Yep. And he says this, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress." He didn't say that y'all are in. He said that we are in. "And how Jerusalem lieth at waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more reproach." You see, a pastor is not about I. A pastor is not about I. A pastor is about we. And he says this, "Then I told them, my God in heaven. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. And also the king's words that he had spoken unto me." And then it takes a twist. Then there's a shift. It all of a sudden goes from him talking to the laborers talking. Listen to what they say. "And they," talking about the ones that's in Jerusalem now, talking about the ones that's living amongst the ruins, talking about them people, says this, "And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." They strengthened their hands for this good work. What does that mean? Well, they got up and they said, okay, let us build this wall. But you see, that's where sometimes we just fall short at, is that we just sit and we just talk about it. And I'm saying we. We sit and we talk about it. Man, it'd be great. It'd be good. And then the words are gone and no action happens. But these guys on this day, you see, sometimes you got to just get tired of living in the ruins before you do anything. Sometimes you got to reach that point like that prodigal son that he was in the hog pen and he came to himself and he got up. He didn't just talk about it. He was about it. He got up and he got out of the hog pen. And here they said, you know, we've seen. You see, I believe something for the captivity when they were pulled out of Egypt, out of Exodus, the great exit, the great departure, that it was easy for God to get them out of Egypt. It was easy for God to get them out of Egypt. You know what the hard thing was? To get the Egypt out of them. To get the Egypt out of them, to get the world out of them. Friend, they come, but I want to encourage you with this. I really do. I'm not going to be much longer, about 2 more hours. But I want you to see. I want you to see that they said, let us rise up and build. These laborers all of a sudden had something to work for, and they strengthened their hands for the good work. What does that mean? That means they rolled up their sleeves. They began to roll up, and they say, you know what? We're done talking about it. We're done prophesying about it. We're going to start doing some work. And then what I want you to notice, chapter number 3, verse number 1. Eliashib the high priest rose up. The first man to move was the priest. The first man. And if you go through that, I'm not going to go through that because that's a lot. But if you go through chapter number 3, you see something, and it makes sense for the church today. It's that we've got to work together in unity in order to accomplish an end goal. Amen. You want the church to grow? Well, there's six of you.
Come on.
And I'm being serious. But do you want a church to grow?
Amen.
Do you want your youth to be poured into? Do you want those things?
Amen.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
You got to work together. Famous thing, 10% of people do 90% of the work. 90% of the people stand and watch. Those 10% do the work. It's true. It's church. It's true. But as they got there, they got together. And if you go through that list, man, there was priests, there was women, there was men, there was apothecaries, there was goldsmiths. There was all these different types of people that had to come together and had to work together outside of whatever they may have been doing in order to get the wall built. And friend, can I tell you, since 2019, the wall has had a hole in it. The wall, in a sense, has been knocked down. And let me tell you something. There's some bricks that's missing in the wall. And friend, can I tell you that the only people that are going to do anything about it is going to be you and it's going to be me. It's not going to be nobody else. Friend, don't rely on somebody else to do the job. If you see a need, if you see a hole, patch it. Put a brick in it, bless God. Put a brick in it. Build it back up. Don't wait on everybody else. Friend, that's what we're good at doing. And I'm talking about we, because I'm in the crowd too. Friend, we wait. We see a need. Be the youth. It be church attendance. Be a need cleaning up. Be a need taking out trash. Be a need helping to clean up. Those ladies know what I'm talking about at the back. That need help. And you know that they need help. Help them. Work together in unity to build the wall.
Amen.
Because if the wall stays down, you know what it does? It allows the enemy just to walk right in. It allows the enemy just to do, to have free reign of wherever and whatever that he wants to do. Some of y'all done went to sleep on me. Say amen. Let me know you're still awake.
Amen.
Glory. But friend, we have got to work together in order for the wall to be built. If you go back to the book of Proverbs, you'll see where Proverbs describes these things about ants. And you'll learn a lesson from the ants in Proverbs if you ever read it. It's a great read.
Amen.
But some things about ants. You know what they really do good at? Alan, they do good at working. They do good at working together. You know what else they do good at? Defending off the enemy.
Amen.
You know what happens whenever an ant, I learned this just, and God orchestrated this thing out. But you know what an ant does to a termite? I didn't ever notice till this weekend. So y'all looked as shocked as I did. But an ant will fight a termite. But you know what it won't do? And won't fight him alone. I'm going to say that one more time. That an ant will fight a termite and it won't fight him alone. It won't fight him alone. They'll fight him together. They'll fight. Think about it. Step in an ant bed and then tell me how it works out. Amen. You don't just get bit by one. Bless God, you get bit by all of them. My God, it ought to be the same way in the church.
Amen.
We ought to be the same way. We ought to fight for each other.
Amen.
We ought to fight. I'm talking tooth and nail. Bear ye one another's burdens.
Amen.
Go after the enemy.
Amen.
On your brother and your sister's behalf.
Amen.
Continue to pray for them.
Right.
Don't just leave them by the wayside. Help them up.
Amen.
Carry them with you.
Come on. Come on. That's right.
Because, friend, they need you more than you'll ever know.
Amen.
Heather, y'all come back. I guess y'all doing a special singing. If not, y'all now. They began to build. Don't trip on that sword. It is sharp. They began to build back that wall. And they done it together. But they had a great leader. Can I tell you this? Or can I ask you a question? I got asked this question about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. What are you doing? Everybody do me a favor. Stand up right quick. Turn around. Turn around. Turn all the way around. Everybody face the back. All right, now look down. Look down. God didn't save you just to keep that warm.
Amen.
God didn't save us to sit in a pew. You may be seated. God didn't save us just to sit in a pew.
Amen.
God didn't save us for that. God saved us to build. Build up his kingdom. How do we do that? Be faithful. You be faithful. What are you doing? That's a question I got hit with. Seriously. And I mean this in all seriousness.
Come on.
Friend, if you're lost in here today, you don't know Jesus, have a personal relationship with him. And you die. You won't go to heaven. I know that's tough. I know that's hard to say. I know people get on Facebook and chit-chat about me. But that's okay. But friend, there ain't but one way to heaven. We can't work our way there. By grace. Amen. But I want you to think about this, lost person. Don't worry about... People get so focused upon all these different ways. Be glad of this. Be glad that there is a way. He didn't have to give us a way in. But he chose to. If you're part of Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, stand up as they start to play.